what shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me. What shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me. Praise you, Lord. Sing to the top. He's done so much for me. Oh, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. If I had 10,000 tongues, it still won't be enough. Do it again.
Yeah! in every distress. I call upon you, God. I know that you hear me. My cry comes before you.
You sweetify all of my life, sweetify
all of your goodness. You sweetify all the wants and dreams, coals and fire of my enemies. You sweetify all of my life, sweetify all of your goodness. You sweetify all the wants and dreams, coals and fire of my your goodness, you
Thank you, Father, that you are speedifying at great speed. You bring into pass your words. Blessed is he that believes in the word that the Lord hath spoken, for there shall be a performance. Your word says, O God, that you will hasten your word to bring it to pass. Father, so let it be unto us according to your word. Surprise us this day and every day at the speed of change, at the speed, O God, that you are bringing to manifestation your perfect will for our lives. We surrender. We put on our seat belts for a fast ride. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient and that you are carrying us at the speed of God, faster than anything else. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you tonight as we continue our studies through the book of Proverbs. This is an amazing book, loaded with information that is vital to our spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, all-round well-being. And it behooves us to embrace what the Word of God is bringing to us as His people. For as we adhere to these words and take cognizance and obey the instruction of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, we'll find ourselves in a place of true security. It is the Word of God that protects us. When we are walking in that Word, we have something to stand on. It is a solid rock. The Word of God says that a wise man is one who comes, hears his words, and does them. So that's a wise man. A foolish man comes, hears the words, and do not do them. That will not be our portion. We shall not be accounted as foolish. Because I find out that after 50-something years of being saved, I've come to the conclusion that people falter and fail many times not because they don't know something, but because they ignorantly don't do what they know. They know what to do, but they don't do it. That is a place of ignorance and a place of presumption. And sometimes we do not apply properly what God's word says. So sometimes people say they are walking in faith when they are walking in presumption or foolishness. Let me explain what I mean a little bit. Faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing. And if you're doing something that you've not heard God directly speak to you about, and you're doing it, you are in the flow of presumption of foolishness. The faith to do whatever it is that you do is founded in the hearing of God, the instruction. of the Lord. So before I do anything, I need to cross-check the box. Did you hear from God? What did God say? When did God say you should do that? Did God give you timing for it? Or are you moving based on a presumption? God told Abraham, you're going to have a child. Promise him a child. I think he was, 75 at the time? And at 99 is when the fullness of time came. Because we must understand that God, in terms of timing, God's timing and his time clock and ours are not the same. The calibration is totally different. A day is like 1,000 years. So compute that. Jesus says, I'm coming back. It's 2,000+ years. But in his timing, it's 2 days. Are we together? Because if a day is like 1,000 and we have 2,000, then it's like 2 days. God's timing is different from ours. Now, it's also different from ours. Different because now includes the past, the present, and the future. Ecclesiastes tells us that. That's why what God requires is the past. And that's why we know also that for God to do anything, he has to have done it to say it, so that his timing and ours somehow connect. So before the foundations of the world, Christ died, but shows up maybe 4,000 years later. That was the fullness of time. So the word of God says, let us not be weary in well-doing. When we hear God, we also have to reflect on what God has said, what God is doing, what God has done, and seek the manifestation. Let's put it again this way. He says, before you ask, I've already answered. Yeah? And the reason is because of the time difference. It's because of the time difference. The light that comes from the sun to us, the light that we see today, the blast, happened years ago. But we just saw it now. Distance, timing, all of that is relative. So, the timing, oh, glory to God. The timing that is relevant is the timing that is relevant as it relates to God. Let me explain. When we are in God's timing, we are no longer in man's timing. And it is in pulling ourselves into the God timing that the manifestation in God's timing in the natural happens. So are you ready for this? Every manifestation is not based on natural timing. It is based on God's timing, or else we'll be waiting forever. So it is manifested in God's atmosphere, in kingdom atmosphere. So when I am in kingdom, I receive kingdom experiences or miracles. Every healing takes place in the kingdom. That makes sense? Everything that we are dealing with outside the kingdom faces the natural timing of times. Everything that we deal with in the kingdom based on God's timing manifests God's timing of that which is already done now. So it's a download. I don't know if that's helping you, but it's helping me. It's a download of the now. Of God. So tonight, my prayer is this, that we will always be in the God state so that we are in the God timing, so that the God timing overrules, supersedes the natural time, which is based on the sun and the moon and seasons. So we need the S-O-N time rather than the S-U-N time. May I say that again? We need the S-O-N time rather than the S-U-N time. If we go home now, I think we've had enough information. Hallelujah. But this is where we need to flow. This is where we need to flow by the Spirit. Operating in the God time zone rather than the man time zone. He created us in His image and in His likeness, and He expects us to be there. Can you imagine Adam naming all the animals, like in hours, natural hours? How is that possible? If you gave him 20 years, he would still be naming. Can you imagine all the things that are crawling around and visible and invisible and just giving them names? That's only possible in the God timing. So when we talk about speedify, we're talking about flowing in the God realm. We're not talking about the natural anymore. In the God realm, everything is different. In the God realm, we're living in dimensions. That's why God can say, let's go shopping. And you go shopping. And you come home with a white suit on sale. And you go back to the store and say, do you guys still have that sale? And say, we don't have sales. And we never have white suit and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And you say, God, you told me to go shopping. I went. I got the white suit. Now they're saying that I didn't get the white suit. And here's the white suit. And God says, you didn't get it there. I say, what do you mean I didn't get it there? What do you mean I didn't get it there? I went to that. You told me to drive. I went there. I got the suit. Now you're telling me that, right? So where did I get this suit from? Oh, you got it from another dimension. What, Lord, it looked like Winnipeg. It looked like my neighborhood. It looked, everything was the same. Yeah, if I'd shown you where you were, you won't be able to handle it. I remember being at Rock Lake Camp and Pilot Mound. Is it Pilot Mound, they call it? Pilot something. I think it's Pilot Mound. Anyway, somewhere in Manitoba here. I remember Lindsay came to that camp many years back. And I was in my quarters where the ministers that are ministering stay. Nice room. And the Lord says to me, let's go on a walk. So I come down. And then I go down to where the pier was. And I walked the distance. But before I started walking, I looked at my watch. And I went on this walk, went all the way down, go up the hill somewhere else, then got on the highway, walked down the highway, came to the entrance, go down the hill to where I started. And I looked at my watch, and I just walked maybe 10 minutes. The distance I walked in the natural should have taken me anywhere from about 45 minutes. But only 10 minutes had passed. And I wasn't walking briskly. If you know how I walk, you know, Mama is always complaining, you walk too slow. And it's true. You know, sometimes I'm trying to walk real fast, and somebody that I can see is walking slow. They're way ahead of me, and they're gone. And I'm still coming. So when I say I was walking slow that day, I was really dragging, taking my steps. But what I do remember is there was a young kid at the beach. I said hello to him, and kept on walking, and I looked back, and he was way back there. And I'm thinking, what was that? It wasn't until I completed that circuit. And the Lord says to me, didn't I say we should go on a walk? I said, yes, you did. He said, I took you real slow. I took you real slow. Wow. He said, that's how you're going to have to move in the days to come. So fast, if somebody were trying to capture you, they will see you and not see you. You're not there. You've moved so fast. Out of their sight. You know, so when I saw the movie Flash many years ago, and Mr. Flash takes off, zoop, I said, oh, wow, that's true speedification right there. moving in another realm. God wants to do that with us. In this realm, we will see miracles at levels that we cannot explain, because we're not moving based on natural days, times, and seasons. We're moving in the God zone, in the God dimension. And in that dimension, everything is already done. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank God for that special teaching. Now let's go to Proverbs, verse 9. It says, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. Oh, that's a serious statement. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. The wicked person . The word is the word rasha, and it means to be morally wrong. A wicked person is a person that is not allowing God to do his will in his life. That's what God calls wicked. A wicked person is a person that is not obeying the instruction of God, and therefore God's hands are tied. God has so much he wants to pour into our lives, and a wicked person comes, and no matter what God pours into them, it's emptied out. A wicked person is a person who comes to draw water with a basket and blames everybody that the basin he wants to fill with water is not full. It's just wet. It's a wicked person. In essence, a wicked person holds God back. A wicked person does not honor God, and so God cannot honor him. Does not honor God with his, honor God's word, resists the word of God, and so God cannot do what is his character to do. That's wickedness. And so God says, that wicked person is an abomination to me. It's an abomination. May we never be that. May God never see me and see abomination. May God never see you and see abomination because you're not walking in his ways, obeying his instruction. God says, go left. He said, I'm not going left. I'm going right. And when God says, I want you to go right, no, I'm not going right. Mm-mm. I'm going left. And that's how many people live their lives. God says one thing, and they say the other thing. He says, let's go forward. He says, no, I'm not going forward. I want to bless you. Yes, I want to receive the blessing. I receive the blessing, but you're not walking in love. You're not walking in obedience. Is God going to bless you? God wants to bless you. But you spend your time speaking negative things, things of defeat, fear, shame. He says, I've not given you the spirit of fear. I give you the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and a sound, mature, disciplined mind. That's what I give to you. Why don't you say that you're strong rather than keep on saying I'm weak? Because we must remember that God is the yes and amen. Jesus is a yes and amen. God is always confirming whatever it is that you say. He says yes and amen because he doesn't want me to be a liar. So if you say you're a fool, God says, amen. You say you're wise, he says, amen. But if you are going both ways, yes and no, yes and no, yes and no, yes and no. One day you're saying I'm weak, the other day you're saying I'm strong. This is a double-minded person should not expect to receive anything from me. So the true definition of a wicked person is a double-minded individual. They tie God's hands down. You cannot be robbing God and say, open up the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings on me. It doesn't work that way. A wicked person is a bad person. It's an ungodly person. Rasha. That word Rasha also means criminal. So the way of the criminal is an abomination unto the Lord. It's a criminal. A criminal is somebody that elects to commit crimes. They go against the law. He says, but he loves him that followeth after righteousness. God loves him that followeth after righteousness. What does God love? He loves faith. He says, in fact, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the one that followeth after righteousness, which is a right standing before God, that one is the one that is walking the walk of faith. God says, I love the one that walks after righteousness. That's the word tzedakah. You know, in Nigerian Pidgin English, we have a word like that, tzedakah. Tzedakah is when you give things freely. It's, oh, yeah. It's dashing. That's how that word sounds, tzedakah, in this Hebrew word. In the real sense, it is that. Righteousness is a gift that is given freely by God. I've been sharing the last few days about something that happened. I didn't know this because I did not understand my benefits, the airline that I fly with. But something happened that changed a lot of things for me in my thinking. I had these family members that were traveling to the Caribbean, and they had this What's the word? Stopover, thank you. In Toronto, and it was going to take about 8 hours before they catch their next flight because their flight leaves for the country they were going to in the evening. But the cheapest tickets were early in the morning. So they bought the cheapest tickets to get there. Now they're having to wait all these hours. So they reached out to me and said, do you have passes? Actually, I first said, no, I don't have any passes because I was expecting some physical paper passes. They used to do that. So I said, I don't have any passes. So somebody else called me and said, you should have passes. I said, how do I know? He said, go on your app, you find it. So I go to the app and I find these passes. So I called the person on the other end, said, I got it. It should be okay, he said. All right. Then somebody calls me from this family member calls me and said, we called our agent and said to them that we have passes, blah, blah, blah. And they said, no, so we called the airline and the airline says, there's an error in the information. I said, that's not possible. I called yesterday night. They said it was okay. Now they say, no, it's not okay. So I called and I'm on the line for hours and about an hour plus because they're going back and forth trying to find out what the problem was. I said, we can see that you are qualified and you've not used any passes, so we don't know why it's giving us an error. So they called higher and higher and go to supervisor. Close to an hour later, they say to me, well, the problem is you have these passes. However, you've not claimed them. I said, that's interesting. So I told them about this one set of passes. They say, oh, you can use those passes. I said, why not? Well, because this particular pass that you're trying to use, you can only use if you're traveling within Canada and the U.S. But these people are going to another country, so they can't use it. I said, that doesn't make any sense. A lounge is a lounge. What difference does it make? Well, those are the rules. Oh, but you have two status passes here. We could use those. And I said, okay, go ahead, use it. So she uses it. And now she explains to me what had happened. What had happened when she used the status was now this my status is transferred to these recipients. So they now don't have to pay for bags because I don't pay for bags. Now, their baggage limit is 50 pounds. My baggage limit is 72 pounds, and I get 372 pounds. My status gives me priority, so my bags will be tagged priority, so they get in, special way, come out special. All that was due me got transferred to them. I say, look at that. That's what Jesus did for us. He gave us his status change. So now, the love the Father has for the Son is also the love that he has for me. That's what Jesus said. I said, oh yes, I'm laying claim to my status. The status that Jesus has given to me. And it became clear to me, not only do I need a status change of the forgiveness of sins and the endowment of the holiness of God and every other good thing that God has bestowed upon me, because he has made us, remember the statement of the Lord, we are made joint heirs. That's a status change. Everything Jesus got, I get. Wow. So I said, thanking God that they asked for a pass, because that pass has already given me a better pass. Amazing. I said, look at that. Now, that takes me from it is written to it is said. Remember what the centurion said. You're a man under authority. If I say, you're just like me. If I say to this one, come, they come. If go, they go. He said, you're just like that, so just speak the word only. Just say something. I don't need you to come to my house. Just say something, and the problem will be solved. Wow. In understanding, in the simplistic way of understanding, it all now made all kinds of sense. That really, all we all need is a status change. How does that happen? We follow after his righteousness. We follow the righteousness of God, the gift of God. We tap into the benefits of what God has. He says, however, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. What way? The way of righteousness. Because remember, we follow it, we're following after righteousness. He says, so following after the way of righteousness means that there's going to be corrections. God is going to be tweaking you while you're going. He says, but it is grievous unto the one that's forsaking the way. They're always resisting the word and the direction of God. And he says, and he that hateth reproof shall die. You hate correction? He says, you're going to die. There are certain things that the devil and the activities of witchcraft and iniquity and on bring about in the lives of people. But the reality is, for most situations, you can track it back to not listening to correction. You should be in school, learn, do your homework, on and on and on. Oh, no, I want to have fun. You hang around the wrong people. You're busy drinking, smoking, doing drugs, womanizing or manizing, whatever you call it. And you end up on the street because you have no education. You are filled up with all kinds of stuff, fried your head, your brain, your whatever. And you're stuck. Because you didn't listen to instruction. Most people on the street did not listen to instruction. The instruction came from a father, came from a mother, came from a sibling, came from the cops. So you have people going through this vicious circle. They are in prison and out of prison, in and out, in and out, in and out. Not listening to instruction. If you try to say something to them, don't judge me. You think you're better than me? I remember a few years ago, I was at the dollar store. I was coming out of the dollar store. There was this young man. I came out. I looked at him. How are you? And he says, don't judge me. You think you're better than me? Nobody's He was judging himself. Looking at his life and thinking this is the end of it. He says, he goes on and says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? God, this is hell and destruction. They're before him. But also, the hearts of the children of men. What is he saying? I love you. I will do everything to turn your life around. When you choose to listen, your problem is fixable. I can give you that status change. Remember what we said at the very beginning. It is the God framework and the natural framework. In the natural framework, you got to do this to improve yourself to get to this point. But in the God economy, it is one leap. One step, and you are no longer in the wilderness or desert. You are at Azotus like Philip. One step. It is at the place of obedience, not holding on to what you think, but holding on to what God thinks. He says, my thoughts. He says, your ways are not my ways, and neither are your thoughts my thoughts. My ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than yours. So I need for you to upgrade. Yeah. Upgrade. I remember Mama and I were traveling somewhere. We had a fairly decent ticket, but it was not business class. It was not even the highest level of economic ticket. And there's hundreds of people going to board this plane. And this lady, a Caucasian lady, just walks past everybody, comes to us and says, come with me. So we go up to the counter with her, says, where's your boarding pass? We give her a boarding pass and she rips it up. And I'm looking, I said, well, what's she doing? She prints another set of tickets and gives it to us. We are moved just by that executive order to business class. We didn't go asking for it. We don't know this woman from anybody. But if you know, God knows. He knew how tedious that journey was going to be. And he knew he needed us well rested. That was the very first time I flew business class. I said, oh, this is good over here. But how is it that we can fly this without paying this kind of money? And God says, it's called upgrade. Upgrade, how do I get that? And so it was, and so it is. So many times, upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. I believe God is going to upgrade somebody here tonight. Hallelujah. Upgrades. Positioning you where you did not fight to get to. Elevation. By the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know you could just get a complimentary upgrade. In a flight like that, there are so many people that are more qualified than you to have that upgrade. But when God highlights you, that's it. That's it. I don't know how that lady knew us or if she knew us, but it doesn't matter. The fact is, we got the upgrade. Many times, the favor of God as we follow him, because it says hell and destruction, they're before the Lord. If that's what you want, get served. Help yourself. Or you understand that the hearts of the children of men are before God, and God sees their hearts and decides. There are some places that will not accept my money. Because when I go there, they give me everything for free. In fact, today I got some free stuff for painting this place. I've not gone to this store, paint store, and paid a dime one time. And I go there over and over and over, and they just say, how many gallons do you want? I say, I want so much gallons, yeah. Go. Huh? What are you talking about? What do you mean go? Yeah, just go. That is the favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's just the favor of the Lord. Now, not only the manager knows to hand over things to me, the workers, when they see me come in and say, what do you need? How many do you want? Here. It's on us. Just go. What? God is faithful. And he rewards, blesses in ways that you cannot explain. Why is he doing it? I don't know. But I'll enjoy whatever it is God blesses me with. God is faithful. So we need to follow his instruction. We'll end up with verse 12. It says, "Scorner loveth not one that reproveth him." That's something I found out to be true. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Because they are full of themselves. And they think they know. And when correction comes, they shut it down. Don't judge me. Don't this. You're not the boss of me. The spirit of a scorner. A scorner scorns because he thinks he knows, because he thinks he has the power, because he thinks that you are living with a crutch. Oh, you spend your time praying. Forget that. Let me show you how to do this. And to forget that the word of God says, except the Lord builds the city, the builder builds in vain. Except he watches over the city, the watchman watches over that city in vain. No matter what you have, understand, if God is not in it, it is going to fall apart. No matter how high you get, no matter how successful you are, understand, if it is not because of his mercy and his grace, I won't be here. And stay humble. Stay humble. Don't get to the place where you think you are all that. Stay humble. Prefer others. Honor others. And then God will honor you. A person who scorns the words of wisdom stays away and reproves and speaks negatively about the person that is trying to minister grace to them. That's a scorner. A scorner is the one who says, oh, you preaching about this? My lifestyle? God made me this way? This is who I am, and you're preaching what? I'm going to sue you. That's a scorner. And says, neither will he go unto the wise. Why do you go to the wise? To learn, to grow, to have direction, to have guidance. So a scorner doesn't want to ask any question because he's so full of himself or herself that he thinks he knows everything. Reminds me of the little one that goes to school, 5 year old, and says, I know everything. I don't need to go to school anymore. I know everything. You're just 5 years old, man. You don't know everything. Too smart for your breeches. A wise person understands there is something to learn. There are other ways to resolve issues. Let me listen and tap into the wisdom that somebody else has about the situation. You may find out that whatever it is that you're doing that's taking you 5 hours to do, somebody has a way to do it in 10 minutes. There is I guess you might call it a bean cake, beans cake. It's called moi moi in Nigeria. It's very tasty. Now, growing up, to make moi moi was a tedious job because you have these black eyed peas and you have to peel off the skin of the black eyed peas. So you soak it in water and you wash it and you wash it and you wash it until it's just the I don't know what you call it, fruit or whatever, seed. And then you blend that. You don't want to blend it with the skin on. Well, that's something that takes hours. And then one day, Mama put some beans inside a blender, put some water in it, and shoop, shoop, and pours it out. And all the skin is floating. And she scoops that out, and now it was easy. And what could have taken 5 hours took 5 minutes or less. I said, look at that. Somebody else might say, oh, you can't put that in a blender. You're going to be blending it, and all the skin is going to be with it. Blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. You don't have to blend. You just have to turn the blade on, and it will do some of the work for you, and it's done. I don't know where she learned that from, where she was led by the Spirit to do it that way, but somehow it got done. And I am thankful because I might have ended up helping to do that work for that 4 or 5 hours. That kind of time I don't have that kind of time. Oh, no, 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 we're not doing that. I'll find somewhere to go. I have a meeting. I'll make up a meeting right away. It's an urgent meeting. Glory be to God. Well, true confessions. What we really need is to go on to the wise. Learn how to go to wise people. You don't know everything. Ask questions. Today, I'm talking a lot about flights. I conclude with this one. Many years ago, recognizing that we needed to use lounges, we used to buy passes to give us access. And one day, this lady in the lounge says, I see you here often. You travel a lot. I said, yes, I do. So why is it that you always come in with passes? You should have access. I said, well, the only way I can have access is through these passes that I buy. So let me see your ticket. So she looks at the ticket. He says, okay, now I see what the problem is. Do you know you've been wasting your money? I said, what do you mean I've been wasting my money? Well, if you just paid just a few more dollars, you will have this kind of a ticket. And the ticket that you buy for every, let's say, every 100 miles, you're getting rewarded 33 miles. But if you paid only $20 more, you get 100% for your miles. And you'll be able to access this lounge just freely. I said, really? So the next time I was buying a ticket, I told the person who was helping me at the time to purchase it, I said, buy me this kind of a ticket. He said, but Pastor, it's going to cost a little bit more. I said, just buy me that. Don't worry about it. So I did two more flights, and I had access. Ah, look at that. Just a few more dollars. And I found out that wealthy people don't pay for a lot of stuff. Did you know that? That you can go stay in a hotel that has a concierge level, and you can go to the concierge level if you have access and eat all kinds of good food. There's all kinds of good stuff. All the drinks that you want, all the chips and the cookies that you want, everything is there. 24/7. Meanwhile, you don't have status, and you are busy running from one restaurant to the other. Wasting money. I say, so this is how they do it. Well, point. We all need to be in God's program. When he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, he's doing it for my benefit. And every other thing shall be added unto you. He's doing it for my benefit. He's doing it for your benefit. So I guess what I'm saying is this. We need to find out what program God is running and get into that program, because it is a God perspective. And when we are in that God perspective, things are different. When things are difficult, I need to ask the question, what status am I operating from? Is there a better status that I can operate from? And tap into that. You find great benefit from it. Amen? Praise God. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the God life. Help us, O God, to tap into it and abide in it. For he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We come under the pinions, your pinions. We are covered. And we will say, the Lord is my refuge. Lord, you are our refuge, our present help in the time of trouble. Help us to be aligned to your perfect will. Help us, O God, to make the right choices, right decisions. Blessed be the name of the living God. There's somebody who's listening. The Lord is saying that you've been stuck spending a lot of money trying to solve a problem. And that this is because you have not obeyed his instruction concerning when and how to give. It's not that you don't give. Is that you've not followed the Lord wholly, fully, in obedience. And so the enemy has had access to your finances and has been bleeding you. The Lord invites you to communion with him. He'll give new instructions to you. He's going to wipe off the slate. And the next instruction he gives to you as you obey him, he's going to step into your particular situation and overturn the agenda of the enemy. And the bleeding is going to stop. I don't know who you are. But that's what the Lord is saying. He's wiping off the slate and he's going to give you a refresh, a restart, meaning that he's going to give you an instruction. Just obey that instruction and the bleeding will stop. That's the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving and as we do so, may he multiply our seed sown and guide our steps in the wisdom of his Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, the fruit that we eat in this month is yes. Yes, rising and raising. And it all spells victory. May we come into that grace and enjoy it fully to God's glory.